Hello!
Hiya!
Hello!
Oh, Paul is a poorly soldier.
Shut up! I've got leprosy.
Poorly little boy.
Welcome to the Penny Mort House.
I'm here, so shut up.
You've done well.
I've taken an undue amount of stick today for being ill. Didn't choose to be ill, it was just bestowed upon me by Mother Nature.
Well, if it's any consolation, we now know that you're not faking your illness.
I've got a bad leg as well.
Because you look like shit.
We think it might be AIDS, we don't know.
I've got a bad leg and leprosy.
And gout.
So, what topic are we talking about today?
What topic are we talking about today? Well, it's one of the most famous crimes, unsolved crimes in American history.
Oh, America.
I think this is why, because I think our listener base is well aware of our, you know, our journalistic...
ability.
our investigation work.
Our quest to unearth every unsolved mystery and bring it to a conclusion.
And obviously last week we were in Australia.
Yeah, we were.
I think this is why we really need to appeal out to...
Good eye, mate.
A major... sponsorship, so we can do some real field work.
Get out in the field.
Mate, what I forgot to do last week was include the insult soft cock.
Soft cock!
Which my friend from Australia uses regularly.
What does that mean?
Mean? It means you're a fucking soft cock.
You're a soft cock, your cock
is means you're not much of a fella.
Ah.
You're not a beer drinking, rough enough, tough enough fella. You're a fucking soft cock.
So we're looking at the legend of D.B. Cooper.
I've got one fact.
Go on.
I've just read it on the internet, so I'm going to interject. Apparently the bee is just a mystery.
Yes. Well, after...
What's his first name? Dennis?
Well, Dan. I mean, it's probably a fake name anyway. But yeah. after the whole event had taken place, the first break in the media was... whoever put it out there misheard the name and published it as D.B. Cooper.
I love that.
And it stuck, which it sounds a bit cooler than Dan.
That just sums the media up in one fell swoop, doesn't it?
Yeah. It does. Is that
a correct fact? Oh, yeah. And there it is, forever written in history.
D.B. Cooper.
D.B. Cooper.
Since the event in 1971, there is now a music festival named after D.B. Cooper.
Is there?
In the local town, there is a D.B. Cooper lookalike competition held
I bet
annually.
The police attend that.
They all have a good knees up.
Do they all wear wraparound sunglasses?
They do. Oakleys.
Cracking attire. Proper goggles.
So the story of D.B. Cooper, well, it all starts in 1971, the 24th of November, which is the eve of Thanksgiving on the other side of the pond.
Ah, so he's chosen his date well.
Lots of traffic.
Most in people are like...
Travelling about, seeing the family.
Mm.
Stepping down, winding down to the holidays.
Yes.
In America, is this true, listeners? I've heard in America they only get like... 4 weeks off a year holiday, and they're put under pressure to not take that.
Really?
The working conditions are terrible in America.
Mm.
It's not good.
I've heard it's worse in China.
Prime
18 hour days.
I know, but I don't want to live in China.
Factories that set on fire.
Yeah.
Oh, that's India, isn't it?
Let them burn.
Controversial.
No, that's what...
That's what they said, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they said. Let them burn.
That's what all of them said.
What, the factory manager?
Yeah. Shut the doors, put a lock on.
Then said, let it burn.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not joking. That is a fact.
That is horrific.
Yeah.
Horrible bastard.
He went out by melted flesh.
No.
Didn't bother him, didn't flinch.
Bet it smelled nice.
He loved Robocop 2, you know the scene when that guy melts in the acid? It was his favourite film of all movies, apparently.
I was just thinking it'd smell like a massive...
hog roast.
Hog roast, yeah. Mm.
Probably did, didn't it?
Mm. Once you've got over the screams.
That didn't happen.
Spirits.
So, in 1971, the 24th of November, Thanksgiving Eve, in Portland Airport, Oregon, a thin, well-dressed gentleman, aged, estimating in his mid-40s, entered Portland Airport and paid $20 cash for a one-way ticket on a Northwest Airline flight 305 bound for Seattle.
Yeah, you see, and this is something that I find. I did watch the wrong documentary as part of my research, listeners, but it wasn't entirely fruitless. Because what I discovered is in aviation in the 70s, when it was sort of fledgling, see what I've done there?
Yes.
Fledgling. They didn't really care much for security checks.
No, they didn't. Not
identification
at all.
Or traceable payments.
Basically, you just give your name, which you give Dan Cooper, later to be known as DB Cooper.
You just give him a name and it's 20 quid for your ticket and you're on. Isn't that right?
1971, so big year for the Tash.
Yeah.
Yeah, big year. Did he have a tash, this guy?
No, he didn't have a tash, but
no.
I imagine many did.
The guy who I watched had a tash.
Did he?
Did he have a...
the wrong hat.
It didn't help him, though. He got caught in the end.
Did he have a spongy beard?
No, spongy beard, just spongy tashes. A lot of beige and neutral colours, I think, in the 70s.
Suited and booted.
I think in 1971, was that the year that David Bowie released Hunky Dory?
Yes.
I think maybe it was.
Everything was not hunky-dory after this man hijacked a plane and
I
stole a load of coin.
I heard that on the radio on the way here.
Well, the passenger boarded as Dan Cooper and left only as a legend, D.B. Cooper.
Nice.
Mm. Once on board, D.B. Cooper took his seat at C-130 at the rear of the plane. And once on the plane, after it had taken off, lit up a fag.
No messing about.
As you could do in 1971. Lit up a fag and ordered a bourbon and coke.
Ah, classy. Nice. Settle the nerves.
Classy.
Having a puff.
Go on.
What?
Maybe a cigarette.
That's your standard of joke, not mine. I'm still marvelling at smoking indoors and on planes.
Hey, you can still do it in tune, is you?
I know, but we don't...
On planes?
Oh, no. You can smoke indoors, though. You could probably smoke on planes.
Here in London, they're not going to ban it on the streets.
Are they?
They're going to ban it.
Panic on the streets of London.
They can't ban it.
They can't call it a big smoke anymore.
So where the fuck are people going to smoke if you can't smoke inside, all right?
Just in your own house.
Or your car.
So once he's settled in, he's having his fag. He's having his bourbon and coke.
Does he get a meal? Meal?
No meal. It's only a 30-minute flight.
Really?
To Seattle.
From Oregon. Oregon.
He's got to work rather quickly then.
Well, air hostess Florence Schaffner, did you say?
I'll go for that.
Florence Schaffer.
Schaffer?
Schaffner.
Schaffer.
What did you say?
Schaffner.
What did the documentary
say? Oh, yeah, that's what I just... I just basically reiterated what you Schaffer. Just said.
Florence Schaffer, a 23-year-old, and she's described as being... cute, perky, and sexy.
Oh,
fit as fuck.
Oosh.
Fit as fuck. Oosh.
Proper,
I'm going to be that.
Proper air hostess. Oh. None of these fucking monsters that they have these days.
They're all big fat fucks on most planes I've been on.
They should be sacked when they get to 35. Like footballers. You pass your sell-by date now.
Well, Florence was 23 years old, air stewardess. She passed Cooper for the second time, and he calmly... passed her a note.
Oh.
Now,
that's never
the lady in question was, as we said, she's fit as fuck and was used to dirty old bastards passing a note. Fancy a drink, lovely.
Fancy
what are you doing tonight?
Fancy
a
fucking box.
Hey, my life club. Fancy it, hey? I've got small elbows.
And Joe's.
We're getting them bogs, no problem.
I'm only small.
I can barely fit in one of them bobs myself.
Dainty.
Petite.
It's not worse than when you do a poo on a plane and you have to just shame coming out of the box.
Or on a coach.
Oh, my friend once, who was on a coach going down to Cardiff, and he'd been drinking and he drank too much beer. And he had to be sick into the chemical toilet.
Oh.
And as he was being sick into the well-used
chemical toilet,
coach slammed on and he come out covered in blue.
Like one of them drummers.
Oh, God, it was horrible. It was like, First thing in the morning.
And drummers are calling bin lids.
I've seen them. Fucking terrible. Fucking waste of an evening. Fucking banging stuff hard.
Well, our Florence, fit as fuck her stewardess, just dropped the note in a bag and said thank you very much. But, because she gets them on a regular basis.
Oh, you know, fitty and all that.
But no, our DB said, Miss, I think you better look at that note. I have a bomb.
There's a bomb on the plane.
She saw his eyes and noted and saw that he was very serious.
And he was shifty looking.
She read the note.
She knew he meant
printed
business.
In felt pen, block capitals, and it simply read,
Clarity.
I have a bomb in my briefcase. I want you to sit beside me. Which is a strong come
on.
Have
you taken inspiration from Connor?
Well, it's the bunny back in the box.
I like it though. I'm a fan of it. Carry on.
Which I imagine she thought, oh, that's a bit of a strong come on.
I know.
I've got a bomb. Sit beside me now.
I know. I've got a bomb. Sit beside me. I am going to frig you.
Whether you like it or not, I am the bomb.
Yeah. Third base. No questions.
So Florence did as she was told and sat beside DB. She wanted clarification and wanted to see the bomb. To which he opened up his case and revealed a tangle of wires, a battery and six red sticks.
I bet one of them were his bloody cock.
How you got it from Acme?
I don't know.
Well, it weren't real, were it?
Your thingy Sam.
Your Sam and Sam.
What's it called?
Your Samity
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah, Your Samity Sam. They should have just got him down. He just talks to me.
Well, that was never a working bomb in the memory of Anne.
Although the order which would have been short of is like an alarm clock.
Yeah.
A ticking alarm clock would have been
a really shit old one.
Yeah, with a tape round it.
I mean, surely in America, you just could have got a gun from, like, the corner shop.
Wanted it to be effective, though.
Yeah, but you've got to think, you know, you've got a gun, maybe you can be out-wrestled with a gun, but everybody's a bit more scared of a bomb, aren't they?
Yeah. Fair enough.
True that.
Fair enough.
Our Florence, fit as fuck, sat down at side of him, as instructed, and he gave her a list to pass on to the pilot. Item number one on our DB's list.
Checklist, I see. Checklist.
$200,000 by 5 p.m. in cash. Use $20 bills. Put it all in a knapsack.
Yeah. Little Red Riding Hood, do you?
Item number two.
Hang on a minute. £200,000 doesn't seem that much.
I think it's equivalent of about 1.2 million in today's terms in 1971.
It's come on, hasn't it, in 45 years?
That's inflation for you, love. Bloody country's up the shitter.
On its head.
Reminds me a bit of like Dr. Evil.
100 billion.
Yeah, when he's asking for $1 million. And I laugh at him.
Do you know when you said that, my instant thought were the Daleks, but that's Doctor Who, isn't it?
Yeah, Doctor.
Who? Item number two. Two back parachutes and two front parachutes.
Four parachutes.
Four parachutes.
Furdoos, isn't it? Furdoos.
Item number three. The plane will land at Seattle Airport away from any buildings. With a fuel truck waiting. More instructions will appear upon landing.
Oh.
Hey.
No funny stuff, or I'll do the job.
Uh-huh.
So he's not messing about this lad.
No, he knows what he's doing.
He sounds like a man on the edge.
Well, no. Not in person. Because he was claimed as being cool, calm, collective. He was well-dressed in a sharp suit, thin tie.
Said he looked like a businessman.
A businessman in his
drinking his bourbon.
Drinking his bourbon, smoking his fag. He was very calm, you know. She'd said that what she'd read about hijackers in the past, you know, they're always like hardened criminals or like, you know, political protests going on, you know.
And bit sweaty.
Bit sweaty, yeah.
Mm. Well, I'd be sweaty in a high pressure situation like that.
But no, Cooper was polite and calm. And even when he got a second bourbon and coke, he paid for it, paid you know, he's holding up this plane, but he paid for it until it was $2 for his bourbon and coke.
Mental.
Keep the change, darling. You keep the change.
Only for sure.
So he tipped. Well, yeah. Maybe he was still open for a minute.
He's probably thinking, bit of slap keep and the tickle. Fucking change. I'll never get to spend it. I'll be dead.
She also said that he seemed to know the areas that they were flying over. He made comments on some of the landmarks below. You wouldn't know if...
He could have flown that route many times, couldn't well, he? No maybe. One would
could
even
have been
know.
A he could have been a clandestine pilot himself.
He could have, like, practiced this. He could have gone all, like, flown it. Because if it's only a short flight...
Well...
All have been cheap, wouldn't it? Internal
later, flight. Later theories are that he did know the local area, which is why he chose that route in particular. But we'll get on to that. All in good time. All in good time.
I've spoiled it, haven't I?
So, our Florence, fit as fuck, did as she was told.
I think we know that.
She took her little pert bottom down the aisle into the cockpit.
Have you gone back in time to 70s sexism as well?
Well, this is the description of she was pert.
I can see you've taken on the description, the role. Are you method acting?
Yes.
I see.
She was a hot chick. Hot in her hotness of hot...
perky tits.
Tits. They were perky. That's one hot piece of ass right there.
A nice bit of TNA.
TNA.
Flaws were at the bloody book.
So she did her job. She went, she told the captain of the ship. Obviously he then informed Seattle Airport that they'd been hijacked, the demands were on the table. Who obviously then informed the FBI.
Yeah.
The FBI at it quick, right, we've got to gather $200,000 together. Went round all the banks, gathering a bit of cash.
Oh yeah, as you
but
do.
What they did is they made sure that they got all the serial numbers off every single note, so they know...
That's
you know,
cheating.
Not really.
It's quite clever,
isn't
it?
It's the job.
No, because he said, I want used bills so they can't be traced.
Well, they were already on top of it. Loads of girls writing all numbers down. Hey, up 2159.
Next. That was a 2 Canadian.
Well, what would have been a half an hour flight took 2 hours because Mr. Cooper instructed that the plane must keep circling until they were informed that everything was ready on the runway. So he's fought about this.
Oh, he knows what he's doing.
He's no amateur. So sure enough, the call comes through from the FBI. Ready for landing. Your demands have been met. Plane lands as required.
It's 8 o'clock.
Fuel tank ready. Parachutes ready.
Yeah.
Cash in the bag.
Knapsack, I hope.
Knapsack. Sharpshooters positioned on the roofs, just in case.
You have to be very sharp.
So the demands are met and... All the hostages off the plane and you get your money.
Do they still do that nowadays? It seems like nowadays they're a lot more awkward. You know, like when you try and hijack something. And
what, terrorists are awkward, aren't
police? No, police. They don't just like turn up with your money and give it you.
Yeah,
maybe.
Well, this is
the more grumpy.
This is way
now.
Back when, isn't it, Paul?
This is like, well, they've learned from the mistakes,
yeah,
haven't they?
They've come a long way. Just
giving all the money away.
Yeah. Well, I suppose they thought, like, all right, you've got your money, but you're on your plane, where are you going? You see, and this is where Cooper's really clever, I think, because he's demanding 4 parachutes. So then they're thinking, right, what's he going to do with 4 parachutes? He lets all the hostages off except for 4 members of staff. 3 pilots and 1 stewardess. I'm assuming the one that's fit as fuck leaves on.
That's quite risky, though, because stewardesses and... pilots and that, they sign like a value of life waiver, don't they?
Yeah.
Which means they're not classed as human beings in the event of a hijacking and they can be shot and murdered with not as much
consequence.
Repercussions.
Hey, that's I didn't know that, mate. No.
Well, I don't know, I might have just made that up.
I think that might be true.
I think it might be bullshit.
No, I think I might have heard something along
bloody
the line.
Bloody puddled this lad, bloody puddled.
I've just got a new job at Virgin. I signed a bloody contract, you know what it says? I'm no better than bloody luggage when I'm on that plane. No better than bloody luggage.
Not even Newman.
Bloody drinks trolley gets more respect than I do.
Well, it's the drinks trolley.
Especially Florence with a nice ass.
So, yes, the 36 passengers and two flight attendants are released and made to stand on the runway until the exchange is made. Yeah. In which time, the weather has taken a turn for the worse.
That's just like Connor.
It is just like Connor. The rain's coming, low cloud, fog.
Ooh.
It's not looking good for our DB. Or is it? Was this planned?
We can't plan the weather.
Oh, but he can see the forecast. It'll be a good day for an hijack today.
It could, yeah. Well, I see, did they have weather girls in the 70s?
No, of course they did.
The thing that bothers me about planes.
What's weather like? Look outside.
I don't
bloody raining.
I don't understand why planes are allowed to take off in fog. It's not like they're going to fly into anything.
Yeah, but they could fly into
other
things.
Planes?
Like large birds.
Other planes?
No, because they have radars. Radars can see
pianos
things.
Falling out the sky.
No, it's not very safe, is it?
Yeah,
yes,
you,
it is.
I disagree with that. Yeah, because fog can clog up the engine.
Clouds aren't made out of cotton wool, you know.
What's going on? We've got a cloud stuck in the jet.
No, the condensation that comes from the cloud, the moistness, makes it fucks
that's
it
moist.
Up.
That's moist. I'm sure there is some...
It fucks it up.
Engineering.
I'm telling you now. Rubbish. You ask anyone that clouds and fog fuck everything up. Planes especially.
So anyway, the cash is on board. It's 200 quid in a knapsack.
200 quid?
200 grand.
All right.
Before parachutes, the plane was refuelled and he told the pilot to set off. Yeah, and like I was saying, so the FBI don't know what he's going to do, really. Because he tells them, right, Mexico City. We're going to Mexico City. Mm. So as far as they're concerned, his plan is either to...
Across the border.
Go across the border. But is he going to give the four parachutes to the four members of staff that's
flying
on the plane himself? Or is he planning to ditch it halfway across? Well...
Soon to be found out.
Soon to be found out indeed. After they took off, he displayed his experience, so to speak.
I was going to say he did a display like a bird.
Ripped open his shirt.
He displayed
like a peacock.
To reveal his rug of a chest.
He displayed his experience.
Aviation knowledge.
He explained his aviation knowledge. Explained.
I thought I was the one who'd been taking too many drugs.
He provided.
He displayed
his aviational knowledge.
Aviational knowledge.
He displayed his aviation knowledge. I'm like a bird. He instructed the pilot to keep the plane under 10,000 feet.
Oh.
Wing flaps at 15 degrees.
Flaps.
Which were...
We're not talking about flaws.
Get flaps at 15 degrees.
I'm coming for you.
I'm coming in.
Get in them bugs. I've got some johnnies.
See, you've got a landing strip.
Good job.
Coming in for landing. Roger Delta.
He seems to know a lot, doesn't he?
He also asked them to keep the rear steps down. So on this, basically on this plane, the 747, I think it is, the stairs are at the back, like at the arse of it.
Flapping down.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So he asked for them to be kept down, which the pilot refuses. He says it's too dangerous. DB, obviously knowing his stuff, knows that he can do it by hand anyway.
He
says, right, fair enough, bring it up. 20 minutes into the flight, he orders the Euroses and the other pilots to go into the cabin and lock the door behind them.
Oh dear.
Well, at 8:11 p.m., the pressure drops in the plane.
In the cabin. He's opened the door.
He's opened the door, the lad.
Opens the door.
And D.B. Cooper drops into the night.
That's it, he's gone.
He's gone.
He's got 200 grand though, so he's landed on his feet.
There we go.
We hope. Well, this is the thing.
Must have took him a while to unwind him.
I don't know. I
mean, by all accounts, he knows his onions, doesn't he?
Well, he opens the door and he drops, and D.B. Cooper is never seen again.
Ever again.
Ever again.
Ever again.
Never, ever again.
He's 200 grand in his 200 grand in his back rocket.
Knapsack.
In his knapsack.
Hey, do you know, I've just thought he had strap-on glasses on, wraparound glasses, now we know why. So his eyes just don't water in the descent.
Yeah, there we go, yeah.
He was maybe. Well prepared.
Had they even invented them in the 70s?
Yeah, well, they were just kind of like...
must have been a pioneer.
They were kind of like, you know, well-fitted glasses, I think.
They were tight to your eyes.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, it were a big turn-off.
So D.B. Cooper jumps out of the plane, never to be seen again with his 200 grand. Now, he jumps...
Good man.
...over Oregon, Washington. The area that he jumps over is said to be, like, unpenetrable woodland. Like dense forest.
Yeah,
we're
going to say, like, rough...
marshland.
Undulating ground.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that. But all the time since they took off, the US Air Force are following in jets... But because of the fog and the low cloud, you just can't see anything, basically.
And they can't see when he's dropped out.
Yeah. Nobody sees a parachute open.
They probably weren't expecting it either, though, were they? Because they wouldn't have thought... They just thought he was going to take over a plane and go to New Mexico, then piss off. They didn't expect him to jump
out. Well, the FBI would have thought when they give that order, this lad's off to Copacabana.
New Mexico.
He's going for it.
balls have just dropped.
He's going... It's going for non-extradition.
Yes. For Mexico.
I don't know if Mexico's non-extradition.
Mm. Yeah, but he could easily, swiftly make a move over to... That's my pencil you're scrubbing your ear out with.
I'm quite an itchy ear.
He could quickly bob over to Brazil or...
Honduras.
Honduras. Ecuador. Peru. Peru.
Manila.
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 That's
Cebu.
In the Philippines, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. That's not in that neck of the woods, then, is it now? Thailand.
No.
Australia.
French Guinea.
No.
What's it called?
Honolulu.
Hawaii,
yeah, but that's America. So oh, yeah. Probably worse than Mexico City, to be honest with you.
Bermuda.
Triangle.
Hey, that's a theory, isn't
it? It's a good job he avoided that.
So.
I've got 8 years.
Well, this once he's jumped out, like that, the local police. I've seen a great interview with the sheriff of the local police.
Is it like that sheriff off like James Bond films?
Yeah, it's exactly like him. Well, basically, the sheriff of Collard County Police was the first to start the search.
Chewing his tobacco
because they did a quick. They were trying to work out when the pressure dropped and how fast the plane was going. At what time? So they managed to work out an area of around 4 miles where they predicted.
A window of opportunity.
A window of opportunity. Well, I've seen this interview with
the sheriff.
With the sheriff, and he's like, he's terrible. He's like a proper like hick. He's like, We got the helicopters out there, and we got the boys on the ground, but we couldn't find nothing. Eli just kept searching, but we couldn't find nothing.
He's a bloody 10 miles high, that lad.
He jumped out near Irwin Dam, which was lit up at the time. So, if he's pre-thought about this, if he's put
that
all this work,
landing point.
Yeah.
Mm.
Well, the thing is, through a lot of the. Like, the stuff that I've read and the documentaries I've watched, it seems like any of the American documentaries are always trying to naysay
him. They're trying to do him down, aren't they?
Yeah, because the FBI don't want to... Well, apparently, none of the notes that were jotted down were ever within circulation. according to the FBI.
That don't really add up, does
ring
it?
True. No. Well, this is the thing. Did DB Cooper survive?
Well,
did he survive? It was -2. It was throwing it down, pissing it down, cold, wet, and he's jumping into an area which is dense with forest. You know, is it even possible for a really experienced parachuter to land?
When he said there was that like thing that were little.
Yeah, but he's used that as a landmark, and that isn't quite within the 4 mile catchment. And it's a massive river. It's a dam.
Oh, yeah. So he could have drowned. He could have been eaten by sharks.
Them bloody river sharks.
River
again.
Sharks, bastards, crocs, piranhas.
You never know.
That's only going off a theory I've read, that he was eaten by sharks. He could have drifted down the river into the sea.
And then eaten by sharks.
I can't see that someone would go to all that trouble.
So this is the mystery.
Just like throw themselves out the back of a plane.
This is one of the great mysteries. You know, DB Cooper disappeared, but did he? With £200,000 worth.
Or is he just
dollars
dead?
Worth. Did he just die, or did he survive and never and disappear into the wilderness?
Did he throw the captain out and split the money with the other pilot and live happily ever after?
You never know.
Well, no.
Hiding in plain sight.
They searched for 5 solid days using 1,000 troops. Search using helicopters.
National Guard.
They even got the top secret military spy plane that nobody was supposed to know about.
Why were they still in country when bloody Vietnam War was
Well,
playing.
Exactly.
Bloody hell.
Taking photographs of the area. No sign of any parachute or body was ever found.
Fuck. Well, in my opinion...
Where did he go?
Well,
I don't know. I've got... Well, this isn't really related to where
he's... I suppose there's a few theories.
There are many theories, which we are now going to look
about
into.
About who he is.
Well, 7 years later... Sorry. Well, 9 years later, just north of Portland, a young boy named Brian Ingham.
Is he not from Yorkshire?
Sounds
Brian
like...
Ingham. He was digging a pit in the sand. And what did he find? Only $5,800 in cash from the DB Cooper bag.
Buried.
Oh.
Well, if it's buried.
But only $5,800. But this was also 6 miles away from the catchment area.
Mm-hmm. If it's buried, then someone has to bury it, don't they?
But the other theories are that the river within the catchment area was dredged and the sand was tipped in that area. So did he end up in the river, drown? The money was picked up during dredging
and
dropped in that area.
I reckon, yeah, maybe.
What's that lad doing? Why's Brian Ingham finding $6,000 and telling anyone?
Well,
I'd be straight in my lap, in pocket, under bed.
Off you go.
Start spending it.
It does me. Well, that's the thing, you see.
Extra bag of crisps.
If he did die, right, and this young lad's found $5,800. How many other people might have found money
and
not said anything about it?
Yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't say anything.
No, I haven't.
I wouldn't say anything.
I'd spend on nice things.
There's been treasure hunters up there trying to find...
Yeah, there'll be people with their little metal detectors like... Beep, 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 beep,
yeah.
Beep, beep, beep.
Yeah, that,
they've struck gold.
Them paper detectors.
Yeah, yeah. They know, yeah. They might have been there might have been some coin in there. You know how long ago it was?
$200 and 25 cents.
Well, you don't know. He might have had spare change in his pocket.
He might have had a metal hoop on the end of his knapsack.
I don't... There's a lot of theories. There's a theory that he was a pilot that worked for the Orient Airline and that he was like... He knew he was an... They say that he was a pilot because he obviously knew exactly when what level they'd have to drop to to jump out.
Well, he's obviously got that experience.
The area,
actually.
And he knew the area very well.
Knows about getting the flaps out, 15 degrees.
Yeah, he knew all about that. But no, like, respectful, you know, parachuter would jump out of a plane onto a rough area wearing a suit and penny loafers. But actually, another interesting point is the pilot who it was suspected to be, let me find his name, Duane. No, not Duane.
Dwayne.
Skip Porteous.
Bollocks.
No, I'm not joking.
American name.
Skip Porteous.
Skip.
Yeah.
Skip.
Around that time of when this event happened, like, his bank account were up and down, even though it were in constant flux, going up and down, you know, like, as if he were trying to make it look like he didn't have all that much money, but there were loads of different transactions that didn't make sense.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Did he have a wife or family or anything?
Well, nobody ever knows who he is, so... but there's been loads of people coming forward saying, oh, I was Dan Cooper, or people with theories that the
people
dead,
have written books
dead
about
uncles.
It, haven't they?
Yeah, with, I mean, there's a number of a woman claiming that on the night her uncle came back, he was all bloodied and battered,
yeah.
And then he bought a house just afterwards, and he fits the description,
ooh.
And he had military. There was. A fucking stupid psychiatrist that I watch, I think. He was doing like a personality profile, and he was like, yeah, this guy's like, he's definitely a personal failure in his life. He's definitely a personal failure. He's lost the ability to earn money himself, but he's definitely got military experience. And then, fuck off! They're proper like, everything I've watched, they're proper like trying to. They're trying to make him a fool. Like,
yeah.
They're always saying that he didn't have the experience to be able to do the parachute jump.
But they don't like it, do they? They don't like it that someone might have got one over on the stage.
Well, exactly. But there are pros and cons to it, because I know, like, the about him being an experienced parachutist.
Mm.
The four parachutes that got delivered, there was one, and it was a ground parachute for practicing just getting it on. It was sold short. And he used that parachute.
The plot thickened.
So obviously he had two parachutes, so the other one would have worked. But if he was such an experienced parachuter,
he would have surely
realised that. But he obviously showed the knowledge of what speed and what height the plane should have been going for him to make his escape.
Interesting. This is
the plot thickens.
So this is an interesting one. There was apparently. From my extensive research, there was a bloke that boarded the same plane, and I only saw his name as Trip with two P's.
Ooh,
and,
Trip.
And he boarded the same flight as Cooper, and also asked for money and a note, but only asked for 100K. So he weren't aiming as high as our pal DB. The flight attendant apparently...
When was this, sorry?
This is on the same flight, apparently.
No!
I'm not joking, this is from what I've read, seriously. On the same flight.
A double hijacking.
No,
the second gunman on the...
That's why they say it's weird, because they've said there might be more than... Yeah, but it gets daft, this story. It gets very daft. So this guy's playing up, and, you know, he's like... I don't even know if he's as refined as D.B. Cooper, but he asked for 100 grand.
A bit dishevelled, this one.
Yeah, he's
not
a bit...
Shared.
No, he asked for 100 grand, and she's thinking, fuck that, he's asked for 200. He can fuck off. So he's asking for 100 grand, so the air hostess slips him 3 Valium.
Fuck off!
And
then he's fast asleep.
And he slips into a coma half talking nonsense thing. So his ransom reduces to, can I just have 3 cheeseburgers in a rental car? This gets better. His mock bomb is not in a briefcase, it's in a shoebox.
Well, we've had the shoe bomber recently.
Well, yeah. Yeah, and apparently that is quite true, that someone playing up...
I think that's bollocks.
I think that was just someone who had a bit of a trip.
I think someone's written a little story on a forum and you've read it.
I think someone might have got on pissed and saw him and thought, I'm having to do.
I want to do with this. Bollocks to it. I've got my alarm clock in my back, banging in shoe box. Have you got any of that shoelace licorice?
I wrap my alarm clock in bog roll so it looks suspicious. that story. Whether it's true or not, we can speculate.
We'll never know, will we?
And he got arrested when he got off the plane, and as you can imagine.
I like it that she slipped him 3 Valium.
They were allowed to do it out back then, though, weren't they? You know, the full lot.
You can take risks, though, when you're an air stewardess.
Ooh.
For the good of the plane.
I think the best theory that I've read, and this is apparently a full... Like, you're going to think, you're talking shit, but this is a fully plausible story. that D.B. Cooper was actually a transsexual woman called Barbara Dayton.
I read this.
This is my favourite. The irony of it is, he had the sex change, so he was a full woman, but went onto the plane dressed as a man.
Because he still had manly features.
Yeah, so... And this is like...
Well, that would have been advantage.
Barbara Drayton is DB back to front.
Yeah. So basically, he was formerly known as Bobby Dayton. He had a sex change in the late 60s.
With cock off?
Yeah.
Can't have a sex change, it's 60s.
Well, that's why I'm saying, that's why the hijack plane, the whole thing, is bloody
200
almost,
grand, he needs it for cock off.
Exactly. Yeah. His hormones are all over, Gaffy's no cock. And he doesn't know whether he's an Arthur or a Martha, so he's thinking, fuck this.
He doesn't know if he's coming or going, lad.
I'm hijacking this, I'm fucked up. But the funny thing is, as well,
it's true.
The FBI, they were looking for a man, weren't they, predominantly in the search for it?
Yes.
And obviously, like, one of the stories says, like, and in reality, it was this fully fledged woman with like 200 grand in a bloody clutch handbag. Yeah. But they actually say the FBI, they never got its man. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but there's been rumours about it.
No.
So did he survive, though? Did he? Well, there's a few kind of arguments either side of the thing. Did he die in the jump? Well, there's huge public debate whether he did or not.
I could have do that. Well, anyone can do a parachute jump.
What, jump and pull?
It's easy. Why is parachute jumping suddenly become hard?
You're going into a woodland area, so you've got to...
Never mind that. Anyone with half a brain... Say, I read on the internet, anyone who'd done 6 or 7 jumps could easily have done the jump
D.B.
Cooper did.
If you've done 6 or 7 jumps, you might have the knowledge and experience to be able to do it.
He's got the wherewithal.
But he picked up the parachute that was sewed up. So is he that experienced?
Because that's his plan.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Throwing
him off descent.
No one says he put it on. He could have just cobbed it out.
Maybe, but nobody...
Into the night sky.
So if he didn't survive, then where's the body and the parachute?
Exactly. He tidied it up and he fucked off.
Now, the 737, I think that the aeroplane was used during the Vietnam War, and they often parachuted out with aid and whatnot. So if he was...
Who's aid?
Aid
Edmondson?
Yeah.
Aid Bebe.
So if he was an experienced, what they call in army who do parachuting?
Green Berets.
Parachutist.
Paratroopers.
They're called the Airborne Division.
The aircraft would have been familiar to him. The
sky.
The sky would have been familiar to him.
The ground.
The ground when he hit it.
He's had all this relevant experience.
Exactly.
I think he's... I think you're becoming a bit of a naysayer, Chris. I'm not. Inadvertently.
I'm just playing, you know, I'm just trying to get to the bottom of this mystery.
You have been sucked in by the FBI.
With minimal knowledge.
You've been sucked in by the FBI and you don't like a folk hero.
But the money bundles don't really make sense. You know, that $5,800.
Well, maybe he fucking accidentally dropped some.
Maybe he did that to throw him off the scent. Like, 5.5 grand out of a 200 grand bundles.
It's fuck all,
isn't
it?
Might not be arsed.
Dropping in the ocean.
Bundle that he dropped that got washed up or whatever. You know, they've not found the bulk of it.
Yeah.
But like we said, has somebody found the bulk of it? And
these Americans.
Has someone come across him, just got rid of the body?
They just
kept the cash.
They're all miserable. In England, we love a fucking hero who goes against the establishment. We love it, sticking it to the man. And in America, it's all fucking FBI, super cool. We like the good guys, not sticking
good
it to the bad
bear.
Guys. You know, the American dream, which is a lie. It's ridiculous. I'm not having it. He's definitely alive. He's definitely living in Wisconsin or Reno or somewhere shit. But he's had a nice life.
chilling out.
Mm. Chilling out with his money. The end. That's the end of the story. I've solved the case.
There's an argument that there's a man called Richard McCoy who was an ex-Green Beret. So he was an experienced Vietnam War, jumping out of, you know...
Veteran.
Yeah. You know, and doing all these jazz in Vietnam jungle.
Oh, and that documentary I watched about the wrong one.
Yeah.
They caught him.
Well, this might be him because Richard McCoy pulled a similar heist a couple of years after Cooper's arrest.
He caught him, so the FBI
and
aren't
he was taken, and he was taken to prison, Richard McCoy. And there's a book.
Escaped,
there's a book. Yeah, there's a book called The Real McCoy. And
pun,
believable. But Bernie Rhodes, who was a copper that were looking after him in prison, saw some extreme parallels between Cooper and McCoy's heists.
But he denied that he was.
Yeah. But apparently there was some parallels, so he could have, you know, the second time he tried to do it, to edge his bets even more, he's got caught on the second occasion.
He might have fucking blown all his money, because that picture of that thingy, D.B. McCoy, there, he's not that different from that other man.
No.
Who
got caught.
You're right. Yeah.
It's not that dissimilar.
Yeah.
$200,000, spent it, go back up, ask for fucking... 500 grand, happy days.
Yeah, and then there's also another possibility that he was a comic book fan from Sisters in Oregon.
Yes, because it was an anonymous comic released, wasn't there?
Yes.
By Dan Cooper.
And it was like kind of... It's like today's Nuts magazine would be, isn't it? It's like
bitches in it.
They call them stag magazines. So it's argued that D.B. Cooper was a guy named Paul Leclerc who died of a heart attack in the late 70s. No pissing wonder if he's jumping out of planes.
Oh, it's terribly bad for your nerves.
So, Paul Leclerc, yeah, the claim is made by
Paul Leclerc. Giddy Claire.
So, yeah, Paul Leclerc. He died. So, the claim that it's a guy called Paul Leclerc. Spat everywhere. Is made by a Max Gunther and D.B. Cooper, what really happened.
Max Gunther?
Gunther.
So, Max was a staff writer for True Magazine, one of the famous stag magazines
in
the 60s.
Yeah. Was he?
So it was more or less rendered obsolete by Playboy, as I've mentioned, it was like a lads' mag. So classic stag mags were pulped for men full of swaggering, hard, punching fiction about pirates and adventurers and stuff like that.
I'm just hearing words.
So it's like in which hard-fisted Indiana Jones types battles their way through...
Hard-fisting
Indiana Jones.
We're Indiana.
I know, it gets better, and these guys are like rippling muscles, and they fight their way through hordes of bad guys to rescue busty young women.
Ooh, a bit like our Florence.
A bit like Floss.
A damsel in distress.
Fit as fuck.
But he caused the distress, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah, and Gunther later claims that he was contacted by the hijacker in 72 after winning the confidence of the hijacker and his girlfriend over a period of many years, learnt the truth.
Ooh, did he ever reveal the truth?
Well, the plot thickens, it's nothing...
Did he suddenly die with a heart attack?
After jumping out of a plane.
Yeah, so... And then there's a comic... That I think that... Is that the same thing as a comic book fan? Because from what I've read... An articulate and outgoing young woman named Marla Cooper says her uncle, L.D. Cooper, a great fan of a series of French graphic novels about a paratrooper named Dan Cooper, told her he did the job and he swore to secrecy.
Yeah, but this is like, I like reading comics. I'm a bit lonely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But apparently
it was me. I did it.
I'm D.B. Cooper. I thought that weird side Jack. Stealing someone else's fame.
I think the most
going out on a bang.
The plausible one's getting eaten by sharks.
I mean, sharks.
Yeah, I really do, but
I think he was killed by a Sasquatch.
Well, you know, except
he's a fugitive.
Because I think he's jumped and he's been blown far away. It's November into the sea.
You think he's been blown off?
And I mean, there's not going to be enough sharks in the fucking -2 degrees.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good theory here that I think,
in the foot.
He were blown into the sea and eaten by sharks. Or he could have died in the jump, landed on somebody's farm, and the person who found him quite sensibly buried the body and equipment and
kept
fucked off without money.
I think that's more likely. Somebody's found him.
And they've left a bit of money at the side to show to make it look like he's drowned in the river.
Yes.
I think that could be quite a plausible theory.
Found it.
Spent it.
Fucked it. Buried it.
I wonder if Cooper was just a thrill seeker that just wanted to prove that it could be done.
Could be done, yeah.
Rather than just like, whether there's absolutely zero theory behind it. It was
I
just
guess
one of them.
We'll never know.
He's just one of them assholes.
Listen, I could fucking hijack a plane, I'm telling you. I'm telling you I could do it, but I'm fucking brooming.
Well, someone like that just never gets out of the pub, do they?
Brooming. You watch. You see, I'll prove you wrong, you fuckers. Prove you wrong.
There's been some good copycat ones. Not like, not overwhelmingly good. Like, they're similar to the
not successful.
Because they didn't get away with it.
Yeah, but there's been a couple. Garrett Brock Trapnell hijacked a TWA airliner en route from Los Angeles to New York. He demanded $306,800 in cash, the release of Angela Davis and an audience with President Nixon.
Really?
Yeah, after the aircraft landed at Kennedy Airport, he was shot and wounded.
Do you reckon you could do it today?
No. Well, you could do it, but they'd know who you were. And you wouldn't be able to just walk
the planes aren't designed the same. It were a Vietnam War plane. There's no way you could just open back and...
Is there any way you could get away with taking a bomb on board?
Oh, fuck that.
A couple of eggs and some Pringle tubes. A Casio watch. A
couple of shoelaces and...
I've got a bomb. Now sit down next to me.
You could drill into the aircraft's own fuel line, and then you'd only need a lighter, and you're allowed to take a lighter on board.
Aye, but you need one about a drill, though.
You could fashion one out of a cocktail stick.
It needs to be a long fucking flight.
What happened? I wonder what kind of bomb could you, like a pretend bomb, could you use? What materials?
Well, the trouble is, you can't have anything metal, can you? Because they always know.
Yeah, but most bombs have, like, plasticine on them.
What about people with metal legs?
They thought my niece took a bomb on a plane once.
They what?
She had a suitcase, and on the front of it, it had all lights. So there were some wires and a battery. And then behind that, she had a metal tin full of dominoes. And it went through the scanner and they shit themselves.
plausible bomb.
Domino bomber.
Yeah. Hey, it's got a ring to it.
It has.
The domino bomber.
I'm sure you could fashion some kind of
shoebox, a couple of shoelaces, alarm clock, tissue paper, just because it looks dangerous.
A couple of
sausages.
Reformed meat.
Yeah.
Wieners.
You get some wieners in a jar. Well, you're not allowed to take food on these days either, are you?
I think if it's sealed, you might be allowed.
Oh, there we go.
You can take ambutties on because you can't. They don't provide with a meal.
The ambutty bomber.
They don't provide with a meal on EasyJet, so you're allowed to take your own
butties
on.
The thing is, ambutties aren't flammable.
They could be.
If it's a stumbling block.
If they were ambutted on the outside and C4 explosive on the inside. And then the ambutties, when the sniffer dog was sniffing it, they go, oh, he's just sniffing me butties.
Little monkey. I bet they... Well, I heard a rumour, actually, the London Bobbers, there were egg and crisp butties involved. That's a rumour, though, so I don't know if that's true.
Egg and crisp.
I don't see the point in crisp.
Egg's quite pungent, though, isn't it?
It is pungent. Yeah, a pungent bomb, a stink bomb.
Well, yeah.
Ham's not really smelly enough. You'd need to go for chicken tikka.
It is when you first open it. Fresh pack of ham, you open it, stinks of shit.
Oh, dear.
That's a fact. I've opened a lot of pack of
ham. Won't explode, though.
No, it's not flammable.
I think chicken tikka.
You could take some menthols.
And some coke.
Just throw it down for
anyone who's not from America, menthols are soft mints.
Yes.
Do
they work in the same way? Have they got the same?
No, they're just chewy mint, so yeah.
Okay.
You could take the hottest chilies known to man and you could rub them in the stewardess's eyes.
Just rub them on your hands before you go on board.
Just be careful not to have a wee.
Get off me!
Ray!
Hot as fuck!
That's like natural explosives chilies, aren't they?
Yeah, you could say that.
I like it though, the security's gone up, because you've got to be more imaginative now.
More
you're gonna
creative.
Be a, yeah, more creative if you're going to be a hijacker.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to.
What about these printable guns that are all the rage these
banana
days?
Banana under a tea towel's always a good
yes,
one.
Yes, that's a good one.
That's a cracking one, that.
3D printer.
To take a 3D printer with a pretty big 3D printer.
I know a bloke that did that actually. This is a true story. Some nutter from Near London Studios. He held up a local co-op with a banana under a tea cloth to steal a plastic gun. Then took the plastic gun over to Thresher's, put a blonde wig on and a frock and held up and knit loads of bottles of wine and some tampons.
Fuck off.
That's no word of a lie.
It's true.
I wish I were lying.
You can look it up in local news reports.
He's working his way up.
The thing is, he only nicked the Tampax to make it look like he was more of a woman.
Throw the police off the scent. That's what you could do. You've got to set these traps for the plod, haven't you? You don't want to give him too easy a ride.
That's what I mean. And this guy, he knew his onions about holding things up.
When I was little, I didn't make a bomb. But I used to make cigarettes out of dry grass. A4 paper, sellotape together.
Hey, you smoke them?
Yeah. Fucking awful.
And what did you put the dry grass in?
A4 paper.
Oh yeah, you just said that, didn't you?
Stuck together with sellotape. Not like a whole sheet of A4, not like a massive
cone.
Smoke weed every day.
It was like a little roll.
Did you think it was just going to be like a cigarette grown up. Or like a bifter?
No, just a cigarette.
Smoking
I wasn't aware of marijuana at that stage.
Bollocks.
Just being a grown up, smoking a cigarette. That was my aim.
Alright, well, why didn't you just smoke them little chalk efforts? That would have been the more rational
chalk ones.
Yeah, you know, the little toffee fags.
Yeah.
Nice them.
Could have smoked one of them.
You can't set them on fire. They're made out of sweets.
A few times I've used them when I've run out of fags and I want to look cool. It's not so good when you try setting fire to them, though.
But I've never made a bomb. I've made quite a few fires. I like fires. You could make a fire on a plane.
We made an aerosol bomb once.
I've made a spud cannon.
I wonder if anyone shit on a plane.
It's highly unpredictable.
On the aisle.
What, a dirty protest on a plane?
I bet they've seen some stuff on planes.
I reckon before you got your first nugget out, someone would be trying to stop you. Imagine the smell. God, planes smell bad enough as it is.
They smell like such shitty air, don't they? They smell like a constant pump.
I don't understand me why they just don't like have a window cracked open a bit. Try it.
You're on a plane, see what happens.
No, it's like if you just had it all like in a car, innit? You don't open window all the way, but you want to like crack it open, bit of fresh air.
Yeah, I think you might rip the whole window out.
Nah, I can't see.
And your insides.
Crack window! Bloody boiling in here.
Kid hell, sweating cobs. I'm saturated.
Blowers, they never work. Maybe, you know, they could improve the blowers then. I don't
know.
Like
where does the air in the blowers come from?
It's all recycled.
Recycler.
That's why people get ill on planes.
This is a very boring conversation.
It is.
And to make it even more boring, after they banned smoking on planes, they change the regulations, because when people used to smoke on planes, they couldn't recycle the air, so they had to get fresh air from the outside and put it in. And then when they banned smoking on planes,
they could recycle the air more,
so you get more stale air and only a small percentage of
fresh air. So it's probably better when you do smoke on planes.
Yeah. So get fags back on planes.
Please.
There we go, fact of the day.
I'm full of useless.
Fact of the day.
I'm full of useless information and cum. I've got quite big testicles at the moment.
Like bloody watermelons.
I'm tip top with cum.
The other day, I had a wank.
I'm ready for splatter me better.
Fucking hell. Nearly drowned.
How do you know when a prostitute's full? Her eyes are white.
Honestly, I had a wank the other day and it just wouldn't stop.
What do you mean?
The jism.
Like rubber dinghy rapids at Elton Towers.
Usually it's like a teaspoonful, you know, if you're like regular wanking. But because I've been distracted with other matters, it was like non-stop.
I got it in the hood.
Now there's an unexplained mark on the wall.
And how have you explained that?
I just blamed it on the dog.
Dog's been coming again.
Someone told me a story, actually. You might have heard it, about some lad that were bumming his girlfriend on a couch, a white cream couch.
Oh, God, I don't like
that. When the mum and dad were away. And
he was bumming.
He pulled his widgie out, and obviously she did a little poo on the white cream sofa. He obviously tried his best efforts to scrub it off, and it didn't work for coming off. Parents come back. What the fuck's that? I'm a new leather suite. And he blamed it on the dog. They got the dog put down.
Fucking hell. What a pair of bastards.
Bastards.
I did not see that coming at all. I'm an animal lover.
He loves the sweet more than the dog.
Well,
you'd just say, wouldn't you? I was sat on couch naked, I pumped and it weren't safe. Yeah. You won't blame it on bloody dog.
Oh, I dropped some chocolate gâteau.
Gâteau.
Come here, dog.
Yeah, it got put down.
Poor girl, taking a shit on couch in front of a new boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, so that happened, and I don't know whether they're still going out. It's not my friend, but you know.
They're still an item.
Yeah.
They're still, yeah, maybe. Don't think they've had any pets since.
So that was D.B. Cooper.
D.B. Cooper, another assorted poo stories.
Well, I heard he shit his pants on way down.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
I wonder if he did a good poo before he set off.
It was very calm and collective.
You've got to clear yourself out, haven't you? You don't want to be caught short when you're under pressure.
Do you know what? My dad... go on. My mum and dad went on a flight once and my dad had a curry night before.
Oh, God.
And foolish.
They got delayed. They were on runway for about half an hour. And my dad's going to the mum, I need toilet. Really bad, I need toilet. I said, well, just call him here. So he went, and he said he had the smelliest shit he ever had. And at the time, he's 45 years on earth. Anyone one of them, like, come out, and the smell come out with him.
Oh, no.
And with that, like, he said everybody on plane were like, turn around, like, bloody hell, who's that one? My mum were dead embarrassed, and then she thought it calmed down a bit, people had stopped looking, as things couldn't get any worse. The Eurostars come down aisle with pine fresh. Everyone turning around looking
brilliant
at him.
He's unfortunate.
It's nearly as good as that person that had a poo on a coach and it wouldn't flush.
who were that?
Oh, some girl I know.
Yeah, somebody you know.
Yeah, she had a poo on the toilet on a coach and it wouldn't go down. Because it were dead small, this toilet.
Are you saying that she chopped a log?
And out of panic, thinking that it'd smell if it didn't flush, this certain person fished the shit out the toilet and wrapped it up in bog roll.
Oh my God. What's wrong with people? You just poke it through.
It gets a lot worse.
Talk about it. What happened to this person's poo?
This person's poo was then fished out of the toilet and wrapped up, mummified in bog roll.
Did you slot it in your handbag?
Strategically placed under the bathroom mat.
For everyone to stand on.
Oh my God. What sort of mental behaviour is this? Such a person surely needs locking up.
Oh, dear. And what was the name of this person?
Oh, I couldn't tell you, you know.
No, you wouldn't want to shame that person, would you?
No. Bad story, missing. You're only little when it happened.
I don't have any exciting poo stories, I don't think.
I've got 18, but I just don't go into them, really.
You can save them for another edition of the Penny Mortars. Yes.
So, D.B. Cooper.
Is he alive? Is he dead?
Is he alive? Is he dead? Alive or dead?
I'm pro Cooper.
You think
I think he's
alive and living well?
And that he pulled it off.
Living it up.
I think he's currently
sucking on pina coladas.
Yeah. Well, I think he might have been a single man, so he might not have had a wife or anything to bother about, so he might have just done
living
it.
Living the high life.
Yeah,
alternatively,
nice
he might have needed to fend for his family. He might have a full-on family and he needed the coins.
Mash.
But anyway, I'm a believer. I like to believe.
I want to believe as well.
Do you think he's alive?
I think he's alive and well.
Do you think he's been eaten by a fucking sharks?
Well, he's not got a leg.
I think all right.
He's alive.
Prosthetic
but
limb.
Missing a leg.
Yeah.
Which cost him $150,000.
Poor guy.
I think he's dead.
Yeah.
Proper dead. I think he died on the way down. Somebody else has got out money and got rid of the body.
Yeah. Just
some yokel farmer.
Yeah. Living the high life.
Some unimaginative farmer that's just carried on being a farmer for the rest of their life.
Just stored the money away.
Well, that was good, that, DB.
Yeah.
DB Cooper, nice little short story for us.
Yeah, it is. Something a bit out of the ordinary, a bit
nice
different.
Lad, you know, nice
it.
Lad.
Yeah. Hey. We've been the Penny Mortars. This has been DB Cooper, the America's most mysterious plane.
Lady boy.
Pooing in his pants. Parachutist. As he's well known.
He's a mystery.
It's a mystery.
It's an enigma. Hey,
it's Eurovision tomorrow.
Oh, I like Eurovision.
It's a mystery. Was that a Eurovision song?
Hard. I have no idea.
Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. We've been the Penny Mortars. This has been lovely. This has been fantastic. This
bye.
Absolutely fabulosi. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Bye.
Sleep well.
Bye.
Bye. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
What are you waiting for, dickhead? Turn it off.
Ladies and gentlemen, please be rising for the Penny Mortars.
Every night in my dream, I see you, I feel you.
Down, down, deeper and down, 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 deeper and down, 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 deeper and down. Welcome
to the Penny Mortars.
Guess what we're looking at today?